Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Well, hey, good morning. We want to welcome you here today as we are continuing our series entitled Seven. But before we do that, I just want to give you a couple quick announcements. Number one, if you saw a new face up on the worship team today, I do want to just point Eric out. Eric is actually a church planner. So be praying for him. He's about a year out from the process. They're looking to launch in Grove City about a year from now. So it's kind of the beginning process, and it's fun to kind of see and get things stirring for him. So I'm like, dude, come check this out. Join us. You can jump in and worship, and you kind of see what it really looks like. And he came in from Grove City, started at like 6:30 this morning. So I'm like, okay, that's realistic church planning life right there. Start there. So good stuff, but we just want to thank him for being with us. And then I do want to remind you, tonight we have our church partnership class. So if you are not signed up for that or you have not gone through that and you want to, I would challenge you to come tonight at 6 p.m. Child care is provided. And what church partnership is in the class, it really is designed to kind of show you how we want to partner with you in your walk with Christ as you partner with us as we go and we try to reach more people for Christ. So I challenge you to come tonight at 6 p.m. We kind of walk through our four things as far as connect, grow, give, and replicate. So it's just an incredible time. You can kind of know a little bit more, kind of even some of the behind-the-scene things that happen at church. And then really, we want to put some resources in your hands so that you can continue to walk closer and closer to Jesus. So show up tonight at 6 p.m. But this week, we're jumping back in. We're jumping back into this Series 7, which is not a financial test. It's actually a financial nerd joke for you guys. Gotcha, right? But it's actually a series that's based off of some miracles that we see in the book of John. And last week, we had the incredible honor to have my pastor and mentor start this off. Conan Stevens, he brought the word like no other, right? And really, he laid a foundation for this whole entire series. And he gave us kind of the central theme throughout the series. And this is what it is. Problems are a miracle opportunity, right? Problems are a miracle opportunity. We remember we learned that we can't experience a miracle without first having a problem. Really, our problems, our issues, our struggles, they're really what set us up for a miracle. Our struggles and our pitfalls are what make us a prime candidate for a miracle. And you see this all throughout the ministry of Jesus. You see this all throughout the life of Jesus. You know, when Jesus walked into a town or city, he didn't come into a town of perfect people, right? He didn't come into a town of people that just had it all completely together. He walked in and there was people with needs. There were people with issues. There were people with struggles. And what's incredible about Jesus is he met those people in the place of need. And he meets us in our place of need as well. Jesus embraced these people's problems and he embraces our problems as well. And this is what kind of this series is going to talk about. We're looking through this at how Jesus can meet us in our place of need. Again, last week we kind of talked about how Jesus can turn our disappointment into astonishment, talking about the water into wine. Today we're going to talk a little bit about how Jesus can meet us in our place of doubt and turn it into a place of faith. We're going to continue on. We're going to talk about how he can turn our disability into ability, how he can turn our lack into resources, how he can turn our despair into hope, how he can turn our darkness into light, and how he even overcame death to give us all life. So today we're looking at these, and each one of these, again, they're the seven miracles found in the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, go with me there. We're going to spend a lot of time throughout this whole series in the book of John. And today we're specifically going to look at the verse, chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. So if you have your Bibles, go there. If you don't have a Bible, I always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Again, incredible resource. You can put it on your phone. You can put it on your tablet. You can take it with you wherever you go. That way you can read your Bible every single day, not just on a Sunday morning, but every single day. If you go there to John, John's one of the four Gospels. The Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you put Mark and Luke together, you get Mook, just so you know that. But the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're really the four different accounts of Jesus' life and ministry. And in the book of John, we see these seven miracles that Jesus does before his death and resurrection. And today we're going to look at really the second miracle, which is known as the healing of the official's son. So check this out here, John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. It says, after the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived at Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. Now, again, if you remember last week, Jesus turned water into wine at this wedding in Galilee, right? From there, he actually left, and he went back, and he went to Jerusalem, and he continued preaching and teaching there. Now, when he was in Jerusalem, he kind of caused a stir. He kind of caused a little bit of a ruckus. He caused a little bit of a problem because when he went in there, he saw all these people who were like trading, making money off of the temple and like going all throughout these things. And he gets so angry to see this because they're making a mockery of the place of worship. So Jesus gets mad, flips over some tables, gets super angry. Obviously, everybody saw this. Like, we're in completely watching this. Word traveled as well. So this is kind of where he's at. And people were kind of getting mad at him. Like, the religious leaders at this point, this is where they kind of turn on Jesus. So Jesus is like, okay, it's probably time for me. I've ruined my welcome here. I'm out. So he kind of goes back to Galilee. And he actually visits the same town where he turned the water into wine. Verse 46 continues on. It says, once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. Again, Jesus walks into this town, right? He walks into this town, and there's some need in this town. There's a person who has some issues. There's a person who has a problem. And again, problems are a miracle opportunity. So here's this guy with an opportunity for a miracle. This royal official who has a son. He has this opportunity for a miracle because he has a problem, but there's also an obstacle in the way. And if you look at it, really the obstacle was the distance between his son and Jesus. Because his son wasn't in Cana. His son was actually in the next town over in Capernaum. Verse 47 continues on. It says, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. And the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Here's this man, right? And there's this obstacle. There's this distance. And because of this distance, this royal official actually had some doubt in Jesus. He really wanted to see Jesus do something with his own eyes. He wanted to experience it for himself. And because of this distance, there was this doubt that crept up. He says, Jesus, you're going to have to come with me. I doubt you can do it from the space between. And if you think about it, I think really this is where a lot of us are, right? A lot of us, we have doubt in our lives, right? Think about it. If you've ever experienced doubt, raise your hand. Okay, most of you, everybody probably have experienced doubt. I think sometimes we doubt big things, right? There's probably times if we're honest with ourselves, we doubt that God can do something in our life. We probably even doubted God at certain times, but we have this doubt. Many times we go through life and we have doubt about even little things, right? I mean, think about Facebook. Many of us, we doubt that Facebook is real. Like, there is no way that people who are posting pictures of their kids are never that well-behaved. I mean, we should be honest about it, right? We doubt the government. We doubt the news. There's no way that either one of them are telling us the truth. We think through that, right? We doubt politicians, regardless of your politics. We still doubt the politicians. We doubt medicines. Half the time, we think they're probably prolonging the sickness than actually helping us. We doubt the internet. I mean, even if Abraham Lincoln said everything on the internet's true, we still doubt that, right? We doubt before and after pictures. Like, there's no way those people in those workout programs are the same people. I'm just going to throw that out there. We doubt the word is free. We have doubts every single day. We have doubts. We doubt people around us. Oftentimes, we even doubt ourselves. We've all experienced this doubt, and this is kind of where this guy is. But what do we do when we have doubts? What do? We have to experience it for ourselves, right? When we have doubts, the way we overcome that doubt is to experience the opposite of whatever we're doubting. To see it with our own eyes, to smell it with our own eyes, to sense it and smell it with our own nose, to hear it, like to sense it with all of our senses. We have to experience the opposite of what we doubt. And think about this. How many of you guys have ever done the smell test on your clothes, right? Let's be honest. You can raise your hand. Unless you didn't pass the smell test this morning on your clothes, you can raise your hand that you've actually done this, right? Like, don't be ashamed. I think this is kind of, when you look at the smell test, though, you think it probably like originated in like high school or college. But I'm just here to tell you that it originates way before that, especially in the Huffman home. It starts at age 4, right? So my son, my kids are 4 and 5. My son's 4 years old, and this past week we're going through this, and I see my kid do the smell test. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it, right? So we go through, they have their morning routines, and our kids are 4 and 5, so they kind of have a regular ritual where they wake up, they do all their things. Now Berkeley, she's my 5-year-old, she will wake up before her alarm because that's just the way she's wired. Like, she will wake up, she will get ready, have her hair done, dressed up, everything ready to roll. She'll even go downstairs, get her own cereal, turn on the TV, and begin watching TV by herself. All that completely self-sufficient. Like, we probably don't even need a babysitter anymore, right? And then Griffin. And then there's my 4-year-old. Now, he still has his routine, but, like, he kind of involves us a little bit. Part of his routine is to wait for the alarm to go off and then let it go off for, like, 15 minutes. Like, we'll go in, we'll hit the snooze button, it'll go off again. We'll turn on the lights, but he will bury himself in his covers doing everything he can not to wake up. He'll fight it for like 15 minutes, and then finally, when he wakes up, it's weird. It's like something just all of a sudden clicks, and then he's like, okay, I'll fight this for 15 minutes, then wakes up and he runs around. First thing he does is usually like strips down to nothing and runs around naked in our house for like a 5-minute period. You're like, what is going on, man? So this past week anyways, he did this, and then I'm like, Griffin, get some clothes on. Come on. So finally he runs into his room. He's like, Dad, come with me. Help me pick out my clothes. All right. So I sat down watching him pick out his clothes. He picks out a shirt because it was a short sleeve shirt. He's like, Dad, I'm not going to wear a sweatshirt today. It's going to be warm out. So I'm wearing a shirt. I'm like, okay, good job, buddy. I'm like, it's warm out, so you probably want shorts too as well. So he picks out his shorts, right? Gets his shirt, his shorts. Then he gets his socks. And then he starts getting his things on. I'm like, dude, you're missing something, buddy. I'm like, you're missing your underwear. He's like, oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I'm like, okay, buddy. So then he goes and he gets in his underwear drawer, pulls out some underwear, and then proceeds to smell it. I'm thinking, like, what are you doing, buddy? I'm like, why are you smelling your underwear? He's like, I got to see if it's clean or not, right? I'm like, thinking, why would your underwear that just came from the drawer not be clean? Like, what are you doing when we don't see you with your underwear drawer, right? I'm thinking through this, but really he was questioning it, right? He doubted his underwear was clean. He doubted something was clean, so he had to experience it for himself. And really, this is where this royal official is, right? He doubted that Jesus could do something, so he had to experience it for himself. He's telling Jesus to come over here. Come so I can see with my own eyes. Come so I can experience it right before me, right? I need you to do this so that it can overcome the distance, so that you can overcome the doubt. But Jesus works a little differently. Here's what Jesus says. In verse 50, he says, go, Jesus replied, your son will live. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. But I'm thinking through this, right? Jesus says, go, your son will live. This man is probably thinking like, wait a second, whoa, aren't you coming with me? Like, you got to come with me, right? Like, hold up, the boy's in the next town. You haven't even seen him. How is this all going to work? I'm not going to go unless you're coming with me. But it says the man took Jesus at his word and departed. What's incredible here is that the man had these doubts. He was asking Jesus to come with him, but in the moment Jesus spoke, Jesus turned his doubts into faith, and the man went on his way, right? The man had doubt, but he had some questioning, but through Jesus' words, it turned into faith and to trust. And then verse 51, it continues on. It says, while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. What's amazing here is this. The man didn't even need to get all the way home, right, before he heard the good news, before he experienced the miracle. The boy was living. So let's finish this up here in verses 52 through 54. It says, when he inquired as to the time when his sons got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. This is an incredible story, right? Here's this man, this royal official whose son was sick. And I'm not talking like sniffle sick. I'm talking like deathbed sick. I'm talking like a matter of days, if not hours. Like need a miracle sick. But there was a distance to overcome. And through Jesus' words, the royal official's doubt turned into faith. And this faith is really what allowed Jesus to work this miracle. This miracle that happened even in the midst of an obstacle, even in the midst of some distance. And really, I think this is where we are, right? We're right where this royal official was. For many of us, we're in the middle of a problem. We're in the middle of a struggle. We may have a sickness. We may have an issue that's going on. It seems like we're just moments away from collapsing. Like it may be days, it may be hours, but we're ready just to die. It's not just a sniffle type of issue that we're dealing with. But to us, it seems like it's something completely big, and we're just moments away from collapsing. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe that's where you feel with your marriage right now, right? Maybe when you think through that, the word divorce is actually a word that comes to mind, and you're thinking like, it could happen if God doesn't step in. Maybe it's with our finances. Maybe you're thinking like, dude, I'm on the verge of a bankruptcy. I'm on the verge of losing it all, right? If God doesn't step in, and it seems like there's this distance between us. Maybe it's an emotional breakdown where you seriously feel like you're about just to collapse from the pressure you feel. You feel like you're going to break. And it feels like there's this distance between the problem and where Jesus can do his miracle at, though. I think for many of us, we feel like that miracle is so far away. And we're filled with doubt. We're filled with questions. We're filled with skepticism. But Jesus is asking us to have faith. In fact, he's talking to us and he's saying, have faith. And here's why. Because Jesus knows that the faith that we have will remove the distance between us and the miracle. In fact, if this, we look at this story, I think this is what we can pull out of this, and this is what I want you to walk away with. Faith removes the distance between us and a miracle. Our belief can override our doubt. Our faith can give us a confidence that can overcome our security. But the problem is, it doesn't come naturally for us, right? This is why Jesus again says in verse 48, he says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. I think if we're honest with ourselves, this is where many of us live, right? We don't see something, we don't believe it. We don't hear something, we don't believe it. We don't experience something, we don't believe it, right? We live in this area where we have to see it to believe it. We have to experience to believe it. What we're doing is we're putting more distance between the miracle that God wants us to experience, the miracle that we so desire. We're putting more distance between that and us. Because really, if we're going to be honest, we have to smell test everything, right? We have to verify everything. And we have to do it on our own terms. For many of us, it's really a matter of just being in control. And for many of us, I think we're trying to take too much control of our lives, right? Where we're trusting ourselves more than we trust God. And when we do this, we're missing out. We're missing out and we're creating more and more distance between us and the miracle that God has for us. Faith removes the distance between us and a miracle. Think about this in your life, right? What would it look like if the doubts that you have all of a sudden were faith? What would it look like if you could realize and you could understand that that miracle is so close and that distance is being removed through that faith that you have? The truth is we have access to the greatest miracle that mankind has ever known, but it does take faith to experience it. Jesus died on a cross for each and every one of us to give us new life, but it takes faith for us to experience that new life. Think about that. Think about that miracle in your life. Think about that distance being removed. Think about that problem in your marriage right now, that struggle, that thing that can keep, it always comes up and comes up and comes up and comes up again, and it feels like it's so far away from God because we are trying to deal with it ourselves, right? What if we had faith? What if we entrusted that to God? What if we had faith in our finances and entrusted that to God? How different would our finances look? And our careers, how different would our career look? How different would our perspective of our workplace and our jobs look if we had faith and we gave it over to God each time? What about our relationships with our family members, with our friends? How different would it look if we started everything with faith? Faith removes the distance between us and a miracle. So how do we live this out, right? How do we have faith? Like, you come to church and everybody always talks about faith, but what does it really entail? What does it mean to live it out? How can we move closer to this miracle in our lives? I think faith really starts with obedience. So number one is obey. And through this series, you're going to see some reoccurring principles, some things that you will probably talk about over and over and over again. And this is one of those, right? One of these things that's going to reoccur that you'll see this for order for us to experience a miracle is to obey. Conan said it perfectly last week. He said this. He said, obedience is the price tag we pay for a miracle. We must obey. If we want the distance removed from us and a miracle, we have to be obedient. meaning we must listen to Jesus. If you go back to this royal official, Jesus gave him a direct command, right? And this royal official had a choice to make. He had to choose whether or not to obey. In verse 50, Jesus said, go, right? That's a command. Go. Not I'm coming with you, just go. Leave. Continue on. I think Jesus is telling us that same thing. I think there's some parts in our lives where Jesus is just telling us to go, to continue on. Think about that. Think about that. Think about what Jesus is telling you. What's the last thing he even told you to do, right? And are you living it out in obedience? For many of us, that step of obedience is to continue on. It's to continue on and not quit, to not give up. It's to keep going. And really, obedience, why it's such an important step in building faith and living this out is because obedience proves our faith. In James 2, 17 through 18, it says this. It says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Our action, our deeds, our response, our action of obedience, it proves our faith. And what's incredible is obedience always creates results. Obedience leads to these miracles through faith. This past week, I was talking to one of my best friends from college. His name's Danny. He lives up in Minneapolis. And we were catching up, and we were talking through, and God's doing some amazing things in his life. So he was sharing all these things that he's going through, different things where God's kind of even working with him within his career, with some of his friends and mutual friends that we knew, that God's like showing up big time. In fact, this guy made a decision for Jesus who had been so far from God. So we're sharing all these things. And then finally, Danny asked me this. He's like, hey, how's the church going, man? And listen, when anybody else asks me that question, I'm like pumped up. Like, it's just my opportunity to brag on you guys because you guys are amazing. So he's like, how's the church going? So then I just start going off. I'm like, dude, it's been incredible. It's amazing to see all these people coming together, right? Working together, serving together. It's amazing to see how a Sunday morning just goes off and there's people serving and plugging into our kids each and every week, making a difference in them, right? There's people greeting. There's the worship team's rocking it. Like, I'm bragging about this stuff, talking about how we've grown in like the last year and how God's just doing amazing things. I start sharing a little bit of the vision. I'm like, yeah, we've gone to 2 services. Our game plan is to continue to grow and even replicate what we have. Like, we just don't want to be one site. We want to be multi-sites. We want to make a difference all throughout this community and even smaller communities all throughout Ohio. I start sharing all this stuff with him. And then all of a sudden he stops. And he's like kind of one of those dudes that's like, he'll drop some wisdom on you once in a while. He's like, hey, man, stop. He's like, hey, do you know why all that's happening? And this is one of those rhetorical questions where you don't want to answer wrong, so you're like, tell me, Danny, tell me. So like he says, he's like, dude, it's obedience. All that's happening is because of obedience. You're experiencing miracles. You're experiencing all these things because of obedience, because you and Sarah decided to plant a church even when it seemed crazy, because there's all these people that were crazy enough to believe in you and say and obey what God was telling them. Say, hey, you know what? This church is a little bit different. I'm going to go with them, even if it is a church plan, even if it could be something that's a little scary to walk with, right? It's because people are saying yes and obeying God when they're asked to serve, when they're asked to support the church, right? He says it all goes back to obedience. And it's incredible. It's true. Our obedience shows our faith, and our faith removes that distance between us and the miracle. We've seen it through this church. We've seen it through other churches. We've seen it through this community. But when we obey God, it proves our faith. So think about it. Where do you need to follow through in obedience in your life right now? What is God telling you to do right now? What did God tell you to do last? And what are you going to do about it, right? How are you going to respond? I think the truth is, for many of us, we're so close to that miracle, but the ball is in our court. He's just waiting for us to respond with obedience. Maybe for you, that means letting go of that grudge that you're holding on to and offering forgiveness. Maybe for you, that step of obedience, instead of spending every dollar before you even get it, is to actually implement the dreaded B word into your life, right? A budget. And maybe even to tithe and to give back to the church as well. Maybe that's what God's saying, be a good steward. That's a step of obedience. Maybe for you, that means instead of waiting to hear some juicy news and then share it with somebody else, you stop it at its source and call what it is and say it's gossip. It stops here, right? You shut it down. Maybe for you, that means that instead of being so stubborn, instead of being so prideful, you humble yourself. You ask for forgiveness. The truth is that step of obedience is going to look different for each and every one of us. But if you dig down, if you ask, really, you know what God's asking you to do next. We're called to live in obedience because it proves our faith. If we want our faith removed the distance from us and a miracle, our first step is to prove it through our obedience. The second step, and another reoccurring principle throughout this series, is trust. Miracles require trust. And Jesus gave this man a command. He said, go. But he also gave this man a promise. He says, your son will live. And this official had to believe these words. He had to trust these words, right? He had to believe that Jesus actually could do this miracle and his son could live even with the distance between it. And I love the second part of verse 50. We'll go back to it here. It says, the man took Jesus at his word. The man took Jesus at his word. Do we take Jesus at his word in our life? I mean, the truth is his word is always good, right? We can take Jesus at his word, and this is a part of faith. We have to trust in him. We have to have trust, which means for us that we have to let go of some things in our lives. We have to let go of some things that we're trying to control. We have to let go of trying to force every single outcome to come the way we want it to be. We have to let go of trying to control every situation we go through. We have to let go of trying to steer every situation into our desired outcome, right? We have to let go and we have to trust. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is a verse that we've read multiple times. But really, it's a life verse, and we need to do more than just read it. We need to live it out. And it says this, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Are you trusting the Lord with all your heart? In all your ways, are you submitting to him? See, this is more than just inviting Jesus into our situation, but it's completely handing our situation over to him. Instead of praying after something happened, what if we prayed before it, right? Instead of thinking through, writing everything down, and putting a process and a plan together, and then praying, what if we actually prayed for his plan? Right? What if instead of thinking through something first, we prayed through something first? That's what trust really is. I think if we're honest with ourselves, for many of us, we're on this road trip where we've just invited Jesus along. Like he's in the passenger side and he's driving with us. But Jesus wants us to completely get out of the car, right? And he wants to take over. He wants to take over the driver's seat and he wants to put us in the passenger seat because he wants us to take through a journey that leads to his miracle. The problem is when we go our own way, so many times we're driving ourselves further and further away from that miracle. And Jesus is saying, trust me. Trust in me. What does it look like in your life to trust in him? To take him at his word. We need to trust. And our trust in him will always elevate our faith over our emotion. Our trust in him will always elevate his plan over our plans. And it will bring us closer. We need to obey, and we need to trust. And if you want to sing an old song, you can flip those around, and you can trust and obey, right? For there's no other way. And then number three, we need to search. We need to search for Jesus and the results. Think of ourselves. We've all experienced a miracle at some point in our life. It's just a matter if we slowed down enough to realize it, right? For many of us, I think we've probably taken those miracles for granted. If you go back with me in verse 52, I love what this official did. It says, when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him. When he inquired, the royal official, he obeyed, he trusted, and then he went one step further and he searched. He investigated. He looked into the result. He inquired about the miracle. He searched for the manner of how Jesus worked in and through his life. When's the last time you inquired? When's the last time you searched for Jesus and the happenings and the things that are going on in your life? When's the last time, even in your prayer life, that you spent time reflecting on how Jesus has been with you through each and every step? And as I say this, this is one of these things, and I'm preaching to myself right now. I think there's so many times where I'll go through life and I just push on, but I never really search for what Jesus was doing. Right? And as I was reading this, and I'm reading through this passage of Scripture, I was convicted with this. And I'm thinking, man, God's working some stuff into me. And I just wanted to pass this along to you and say, man, this is where I'm going with it. And in every situation, whether good or bad, this is a couple things that I've learned to put this searching application really into process. And I've been asking myself two questions. And everything I go through, whether good or bad, I've been asking myself two questions and even writing them down. Number one is this: what am I learning through the situation? Or what have I learned, right? Write that down. Look back and see the scenario they're going through and like, what am I learning through this? If you're in the middle of it right now, what am I learning through this, right? It'll slow down. It'll put things into perspective that'll be completely different. And you can see that Jesus is still working in and through you. If it's something you've gone through, ask, what have you learned? And then write that down. And then number two, what can I be thankful for? Through everything you go through, whether good or bad, what can I be thankful for? This mindset of gratitude, this mindset of thankfulness, it will change your perspective. And when you look at it with a grateful heart, you will always see Jesus in the midst of it. And that distance between you and the miracle, that distance that you feel so far, when you ask these two questions, you're going to realize that you're so close to where God wants you to be. I challenge you with these two questions. I want to challenge you to search for Jesus in the results. And I can guarantee you this, your faith will increase. Our doubt can be turned into faith through Jesus, by obeying, by trusting, and by searching for Him. And that faith will remove the distance between us and a miracle. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You right now. Yeah, we thank You for stirring in us, God. God, we thank You for You being there, God, and just, God, be ready to provide for us a miracle that we so desire. God, even if it feels like it's far away right now, God, I pray that You will move in each and every one of us to be able to listen to Your words and turn our doubts into faith. God, I ask that You be with the one here today right now, God, that the miracle seems like it's so far, God. God, I pray that You will stir in them, let them know that the miracle's closer than they could have ever imagined. And it takes that step of faith. That step of faith through obedience. That step of faith through trusting in You. And God, as I pray, we search throughout our life, we can see that You have always been with us. You have always been present, and You always will be. God, we thank You for that right now. God, we ask that You do a miracle in our lives. And let it start with the faith that we have in You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.